Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to mini episode number 345 of Real Life Ghost Stories, and I have three spooky stories for you today, and the last story comes from the 11th of March 2024, and story number one comes from Amanda. My story is not particularly scary, but it is a little strange. It took place during the summer holidays when I was around 14. My mum didn't have a lot of money for holidays, so most summers were made up of day trips and long walks in the countryside. This day, we had planned a long walk from Greenfields near Oldham to Holmfirth, where the last of the summer wine was filmed. We took my two younger cousins, aged 12 and 10, with us. The route took us along the A65, which runs past the Dovestone Reservoir and across part of Saddleworth Moor. Saddleworth Moor has a dark history and in bad weather can be a very desolate and sometimes dangerous place. We stuck to the road because, knowing that the weather can change very quickly out there, we didn't want to end up lost, wandering around and trying not to step in a peat bog which can swallow you up and you'll never be found again. The weather was perfect when we set off and Dovestone Reservoir was beautiful, sparkling in the sunshine. We were almost at the halfway point when the weather changed very, very quickly. The mist, or moor grime, as locals call it, came down. We could not see much more than 10 feet in front of us. The mist was wet and seeped through clothing very quickly. My mum said we could stop and wait it out under a waterproof tarpaulin that she had brought with her, or we could carry on. We decided to carry on. After a short while, three sheep jumped over a crumbling dry stone wall and crossed in front of my mum, and I swear she jumped a whole foot off the ground, which made us all giggle and lifted our spirits. On we went, trudging along this road with only the occasional car crawling past and the bleating of sheep in the distance. We sang silly songs and just made the most of it. All the while, the mist swirled around us. After some time, we came across a pub. The building was white and had a cartwheel on the wall outside. There were lights on inside, and so we went in, hoping for a hot drink and some shelter from the mist. Inside, the lights were all on, and it all seemed pretty normal apart from one thing. There was not another soul in sight. The entire place was empty. We called out hello a couple of times, but nobody came. After a few minutes, Mum said we should probably just keep going. There was a cafe at the end of this road and we could warm up when we got there. So we left. We often talk about this pub, and both my mum and I remember the pub being white and having a cartwheel outside. We joke about it being creepy, but here's the thing. When I Google pubs on that road, the only one there is a sandstone building, which is a dirty sand colour and looks nothing like the pub I remember. There were other pubs in the area in the past, but none of those look like the pub we remember either. Years later, as an adult, we drove along that road and there was no pub matching my memory, which just made me wonder even more. Was it a time slip? Was the pub we saw all those years ago much older, meaning that no photographs exist? Or did we imagine it in our desire to get out of the wet, cloying mist? Oh, I love these sort of time slip weird stories. First of all, the moors are such dangerous places, and like you said, the weather changes so quickly. Case in point, you're walking along, it's sunny, it's beautiful, and then all of a sudden you're surrounded by this mist that soaks you through. And it does make me wonder about the very nature of being, the very nature of our world, of our universe. Is this a time slip? Is this an alternate universe that you just happen to get a glimpse of? Granted, you were in a situation that maybe wasn't very pleasant, in that you're out on this hike and you're wet and probably cold, but you're generally, it sounds like you're in good spirits, right? That you're singing, making the most of it, walking along, knowing that eventually you will get to this little cafe. So I don't think that your kind of desire to get out of the wet mist made you, I don't know, hallucinate or imagine this particular pub. And maybe you're right, maybe it was too old that there's photographs of it, or maybe it was never listed as a pub. You know, some houses in remote areas would also operate as a pub. Maybe for some reason the conditions were perfect, as in the mist, the weather, the time of year, that you very briefly stepped into another universe or stepped back in time and then stepped back out of it again. Even the thought of that gives me the heebie-jeebies, because I always think, what if you couldn't come back? And story number two comes from John. So as I sit here in the office listening to Harry, our resident work ghost, do whatever it is he's doing in the kitchen, he's no bother and just likes to potter around, I thought I would take the time to send you some of the stories my nan and mum would tell us from the early 60s to early 70s roughly. Bit of background. My nan and granddad bought their house up in the corner of the street where they lived, right next door to Mayfield Park in Weston, Southampton. They did this as my uncle, their firstborn, had learning disabilities, and they felt having this house would mean they were out of the way of prying eyes. Plus the fact that nan and granddad would not let their son go to one of the hospitals that were around back then. There ended up being seven of them in the house, and my mum was the only girl, and the second eldest after my Uncle Norman, and she had her own bedroom. My mum told us several times as kids, and regularly having sleepovers at Nan's, about a man that would look around her bedroom door when she was a teenager. She said she knew it wasn't any of her younger brothers, as they were all little, and their heads wouldn't reach near the top of the door, or her dad, as he had hair. And she could see that whoever this man was, he was a lot older and had a bald head. She would see him every night until she was around 17 or 18, but was always told it was the light coming through the trees making shadows. She would say she knew it wasn't, as he would poke his head around the door, stand there for a bit and look at her before slowly going out of her room. She said he never actually did anything and never came all the way into the room. My nan's neighbour at the time was a lady called Norma. My nan would say Norma would tell people proudly that she was a witch who dealt in black magic, but that the black magic was not by choice. Norma was a black woman, and both her biological parents were white, and Norma would tell my nan and others that her powers came from her being a throwback, as she was the only biologically black child in an all-white family. Norma was a psychic medium and would hold seances regularly at hers and at other houses in the street. She would also come out with things at random that no one else knew. My Uncle Norman, who had learning difficulties, would never use his name when asked what it was. He would instead point to himself and say, "Dig, dig, dallo." One day, Norma and my nan were chatting, and Norman was playing in the garden. Norma said to my nan, "You know, Marge, this isn't his first life. He was royalty the last time around. Dig Dig Dallo was his old name." Another time, Nan and Grandad were in Norma's having a cuppa. Norma looks at my granddad, who was deaf due to being on a ship that blew up in the war, and said, "Alb, you were on a submarine at one point. You were on the top bunk, number 17. Grandad would never talk about the war. But when Norma said this, Nan said he took out his hearing aid, stood up and said, "You know too much, woman," and then walked out of the house. Norma would also use the Ouija board to help her contact the other side, and most of the time this would go fine. Of course, the times that didn't, we all heard about it as our bedtime stories at Nan's house. One time, Norma wasn't feeling well and asked if someone could take half the burden, as she called it. My mum volunteered. Norma reminded everyone that if they wanted to know something, then they had to think the question, as you would be the only one to know if the answer was right. Mum said after this she never did the Ouija board again, as she said she could hear every question even though no one was talking, and she knew every answer before it was spelt out. She said it was like having someone whisper in her ear, but no one was actually speaking out loud, if that makes sense. Another time, Nan, Norma and two other women that they were friends and neighbours with were sat around the board in my Nan's house. Nan said they had been using it for a while when one of the other women said she could see a little red light in my Nan's dining room window, sort of dancing. Norma looked and said they were to finish and say goodbye, so they did. But it didn't end there. Nan and the two other women became ill, like took to their beds ill. They all told Norma the same thing at different times over the next few days when they were better, but none of them were 100% still. They had all had a very vivid dream that the devil had been standing at the end of their beds. Norma had asked my Nan if he had been holding a pitchfork, to which my Nan said no. Nan always said that as she said no, Norma had let out a breath and said, "Good, he hasn't claimed your soul." Norma then asked my Nan to get the glass they had used on the board, as they always use the same one, so Nan went and fetched it. Norma took it into my Nan's back garden where there was a concrete pebble-dashed path. Norma threw the glass as hard as she could at the path, and the bloody thing bounced. She threw it twice more, but it didn't break. Norma turned to Nan and told her to take it to the church and have the glass washed in the font and get her crucifix blessed by the vicar at the same time. Then take the glass home and smash it. Nan did as she was asked and said that once her crucifix had been blessed and she put it back on around her neck, she felt absolutely fine and well. She took the glass home, threw it down on the path, and it smashed. This was, I believe, the last time my Nan ever touched a Ouija board, and she would always warn all of us never to play with one. Now, before anybody questions it, apparently it is absolutely very possible to have a black child born to two white parents. It's basically referred to as a throwback gene, and I find it really interesting that Norma referred to herself as being a throwback. But apparently it's all about recessive and dominant genes and ancestry, and it's very interesting if you read about it. This is not relevant to the story whatsoever, but I hope that in that period of time, so the 60s and 70s, that Norma didn't experience terrible racism. But I can only imagine being the only black child to an all-white family in that period of time. I just get the feeling that people probably would have been pretty racist, and that would have been grim. And I would question, you know, with modern sensibilities, how much of her belief that her affinity towards black magic was because of her being a throwback, as she put it, was actually down to elements of racism and a lack of understanding of the genetic complexities that are at play in situations like this. But besides all of the sociological complexities of it all, it does sound like she was pretty badass. And to be really clear, if I meet a woman who is like able to tell me stuff about my past life or able to tell me bits and pieces about the future, and she's like, "Do you want to play a Ouija board?" I'm like, "No, not with you. Not with you, you spooky woman." It is fascinating as well that those women engaged in the Ouija board at that time and all had the same situation. You know, they all took to their beds and then they had a man standing at the end of their bed that they referred to as the devil. But I suppose if you don't have any other frame of reference, you're just going to call him the devil, right? And Norma's like, "Oh yeah, no, that's not the devil, but we probably should destroy this glass, this planchette, and then I'm sure you'll be fine." And look, insert PSA here, public service announcement, don't play Ouija boards, all right? Just don't do it, because you'll end up being a subject of this show and me going, "I don't know what to tell you." Nobody wants that.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And story number three comes from Linda. I've been wanting to share this story for so long. I've been intrigued by the paranormal since a very young age because my mom always told my brother and me stories about her paranormal experiences during her childhood. This story takes place in Colonia Bella Vista at Ponce de Leon Street in Chihuahua in Mexico. Yes, that Chihuahua, where episode 191 La Pascualita is at. My mom and her friends had to stop there to catch a bus, but never experienced anything while Pascualita was in full display at the front of the bridal shop, in case you were wondering. It's still creepy nonetheless. What I'm about to tell you happened to my mom around the age of 7 or 8, and she remembers this as if it were yesterday. My mom is 74 years old, and every time she tells me this story, she vividly remembers what I am about to tell you. It was my mom, Manuela, and her sister Martha, and their friend Consuelo. Martha was about 1.5 years older than my mom, and her friend was about the same age as my mom. My mom, her sister, and her friend were outside playing with paper dolls. As her mom was going to leave to visit her sister, she asked for them to go and wash the dishes before she got home. At around 11 a.m, my mom, her sister, and her friend went inside the house. The house was a one-story, four-bedroomed house. As they entered the house and went into the kitchen, they opened the curtains to the kitchen. The homes in Mexico at that time were very different. The curtains were placed to divide the rooms and to have privacy from the other rooms. As my mom, her sister, and their friend walked into the kitchen, their eyes shifted directly to a thin woman who was levitating in front of them. Her head was covered with a black shawl. She was wearing a grey blouse with black polka dots, a black skirt with two pockets on the front, black stockings, and round-toe thick heels with laces. Her face and body were solid but pale, and her arms were crossed. Her stare was directly straight, but my mom's friend Consuelo shouted, "Oh my God, that's Mrs. Maria!" Mrs. Maria then turned into a cloud of black smoke and went straight up through the ceiling. They all ran outside to Consuelo's house and told her mom what they had seen. Consuelo's mom told the girls to stay put and not leave until my mom's mom got home. Consuelo's mom went over and told my grandmother what the girls had experienced. Mrs. Maria suffered alone in that home until her passing. Her nieces were responsible for caring for her, but neglected her and left her alone for hours at a time. Consuelo's mom remembered how this poor woman would look out through the window with such sadness. After her passing, the house went up for rent. This home was not owned by Mrs. Maria or her nieces. They were also renting the home, and the nieces moved out after Mrs. Maria's passing. My grandparents rented that house since they were looking for a place, and that house had been for rent since the passing of Mrs. Maria, which had been less than 1 year, and it had remained vacant for that long until my mom and her family moved in. 1 week after seeing Mrs. Maria, the noises in that house started. Loud, painful moaning sounds. The curtains would move on their own. My grandmother, my mom, and my mom's sister, Martha and Kika, got home. My grandmother's wrist was grabbed with such force when she was looking for the key through the cracked window to open the door. She thought it was one of her daughters, Hortensia, who loved playing jokes on everyone, especially scaring her mom and her siblings. My grandmother yelled, Hortensia, stop playing and let go of my wrist. It hurts. Let go. As she kept yelling for Hortensia to stop, whatever it was kept squeezing her wrist tighter and tighter. This lasted for a long time, which felt like 15 minutes of this cruel joke they thought Hortensia was playing on her. Once whatever it was let go of her wrist, she felt a cold breeze go through her arm. She was finally able to grab the key and open the door, but the house was empty. Hortensia later arrived with her boyfriend and was told of what happened. It was not her, and she did not want to experience anything like this, so she packed her belongings and moved in with her grandmother. It took them about a month to find a place and move out of that house, and they never went back. Fast forward to the mid-1980s. My mom's brother passed away, and at the funeral, her niece gave her the news that she was living in their old house. She did not think of anything because what they experienced was many years ago, and she thought the house would be okay to live in. She did not end up living there for long because of the noises she would hear, banging on the windows and doors slamming at night. Mrs. Maria is out here fucking shit up. It sounds absolutely terrifying to go into the kitchen. There's this woman levitating. First of all, not what you're expecting to see, not what you want to see. And then she bursts into a puff of black smoke and goes straight through the ceiling. That is more than like just your standard ghostly endeavours. And maybe it was a combination of the way she was treated by her nieces, that she wasn't looked after properly. Like, obviously there was a lot of sadness and potentially anger in the house. And maybe she wasn't ready to go, because it sounds like she is making herself known with noises, banging, etc. And grabbing on to your grandmother's wrist and like hurting it, squeezing it until it hurt. That's very physical. And that's very much, I do not like you. I do not want you here. And the fact that it was still going on years later is just amazing. You would wonder really what the end goal is for this entity, the spirit of Mrs. Maria. You know, does she just not want other people in the house? Does she still see the house as hers? Is she trying to make the people in the house feel the same way that she did, whether that's fear or sadness or feeling unsafe? So many questions. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Thank you to Amanda, John and Linda for sending in your stories. Remember, the last story came from the 11th of March, 2024. And if you would like to send in your story, you can do so by emailing it to reallifeghoststoriespodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out the website reallifeghoststoriespodcast.com. And if you are desperate for some extra content, you can subscribe to the Patreon. That is patreon.com/reallifeghoststories, where for $5 a month or $2 a month, you get access to heaps of extra content, as well as every single main and mini episode absolutely ad-free. And on that note, I shall see you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.